Would you like to stand with me as we read the Lord's Word? Chapter 4, the first verse, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Let's turn over to Revelation 11. In Revelation 11, it says, And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000 and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hath reigned. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. I'd like for you to notice something here, especially in chapter 4, a door is open in heaven. Chapter 4, immediately after the church ages, and you can be seated. Immediately after the church ages, chapter 4, a door is open in heaven, and a voice says to John, come up hither. Revelation 11, in Revelation 11, it says the Spirit of God came back into these dead bodies, and all of a sudden a voice from heaven, obviously from a door that was open, said, come up hither. So then, in seeing these things, we notice that there is a great similarity between Scripture and Scripture. Last night, we ministered concerning Noah and the ark, and we spoke about the similarity of the book of Revelation concerning the ark, and we brought out something in numerical order that God had spoken in the book of Revelation. That was exactly according to the numerical value that was spoken in the days of Noah. We brought together those things concerning the ark as to the day of the landing and the time of the sacrifice in the numerical order. That was also in the days of Aaron when God spoke to him concerning that which related to the ark. And in every way, as we evaluate the Holy Scriptures, line upon line and precept upon precept, we see that the wonderful things of God really line up and that they are the same, though they present themselves, we say, in the order of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is the gospel in the four opinions, as we would say, are the four writings of these great men. We see the gospel there, and in like manner throughout the Bible, the gospel fits together or dovetails together in the same manner in every age and in every expose of the mind of Jesus Christ. You know, when we come together, a lot of times I consider and a lot of times I think, when we come together like this, people who do not understand God and God's ways, they do not evaluate properly in that they do not understand. The Bible said that my people perish from the lack of knowledge or the lack of understanding, and therefore they do not understand. So then, in that they do not understand, they evaluate improperly. And they don't know how to get what God has for them. And they don't know how to pursue it, and they don't know how to approach God that he might share it with them. And they don't know how to come to the house of God even to worship. As a matter of fact, the Bible even tells us that we're in such a condition that we don't even know what to pray for. That man is in such a condition that he doesn't even know how to pray. He doesn't even know what to ask God for. And the Bible said, seeing that we are in this condition, that the great Holy Spirit of God maketh intercession in our hearts with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. As it searches the mind of the heart, knowing the need of the soul and the need of mankind, and then communicating with God, knowing the desire of God toward mankind, it mediates between us and it intercedes to make intercession that we might have the needed things of God. Now, in doing this, that makes us to know that we need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The thing that God commands us to do is to grow in the grace of God. Whereas the Bible said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due season. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that you might have his grace more abundantly. For the Bible said God gives more grace to the humble. Let us therefore have humility to grow in the grace of God. And then it tells us to grow in the knowledge of God. You know, one of the disputes that Jesus had with the Pharisees, the scribes, and the great leaders of that day, he said, you have taken away the key to knowledge. You've taken away the key to knowledge. That is, you have got things so balled up and crossed up, and you've got them into such a ritualistic until the people cannot grow in God, in his knowledge. You've closed the door, or you've bound things up in such a way until there is no entrance into knowledge. So you've taken away the key to knowledge. Well, that is the key to the door of knowledge. You've completely taken it away. I believe that that's why God, choosing Peter, an ignorant, unlearned individual, not that God delights in ignorance, but God delights in having the glory. So then taking Peter, an ignorant person, knowing that God would get the glory for all accomplishment, God blessed Peter, anointed him in a mighty way, and said, Peter, here is the key. Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, Peter, what do you think about me? And Peter said, I think that thou art the Christ. Jesus said, you've discovered the key. Though the key has been taken away, Peter, here is the restoration of the key. And he said, now, as I hang here at Calvary, there's going to be a door open. As this veil is rent in twain, Peter, and as the Christ is separated from the Lord, there's going to be an entrance into heaven. And Brother Peter enlarged upon this by saying later that if we do such and such a things, there will be administered unto you an abundant entrance into the wonderful things of God. So then in seeing this, we know that there is a door open in heaven. But even though there is a door that is open in heaven, why is it that so few people are entering into heaven? Why is it that so few people confess the fact that there are people that dwell in heaven? Why is it that we are still improperly evaluating according to the Bible and the understanding of the Bible, and that we are not progressing in God to go on to the things of God? Though the Bible tells us that God is looking for perfection, we still want to stay in the frame of mind as to tell people that there is no one that is perfect. And all of our learned scholars verify the fact, according to their degrees that they've got from college, that there is no such thing as perfection. And yet the Bible says that Noah and Job and others were perfect. And we're told that we're to go on to perfection. And we're told that we're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And the Bible said, as many as be thus minded are perfect, or that are perfect are thus minded. And the Bible tells us that we are to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Why is it then that we do not understand, as Jesus said. Why is it then that we do not go the way of the Bible? Why is it that we listen to men's theory about it and what man has to say about it when there is so much scripture that is contrary to what they're telling us? First of all, why do men do those things? You know why men does those things? Because men like that are not perfect. And men like that don't want to be perfect. Because people like that don't want to come into that perfection of God, in that they will have to yield up certain things in life. They're going to have to change their life, reroute their thinking, and do altogether different from the way that they've been doing. They're going to have to shuck off all of the world, and they're going to have to shell out, as we say, all of the evil, and they're going to have to eradicate from their lives the infiltration and the impurities, and so then they don't want to go on to perfection. They don't want anyone to believe that there is perfection in the earth. Preachers don't want anybody to believe that there is perfection, many of them, because it would interrupt their program. They've got a church. They've got an organization. They've got a bodily function. They've got an enterprise. And from that, they are drawing great revenue. They're taking in lots of money. And they've got their subjects under perfect control of their human reasoning. And they know that if anybody discovers that you can be perfect, then out of all of the people in the church, the first thing that they're going to expect is for the shepherd to be perfect. So he doesn't want them to know there is such a thing in the earth. That would completely interrupt and tear down his program. Which means that Satan has control. Now, you know, you can control things with your human senses. Scientists teach mind over matter. Which means that they can go into the intricate parts of matter and they can break it down even to the atomic particles. You know, there's been times that we went into things here and spoke of the minute parts of matter and went into those things that open our minds to a greater dimension. Scientists can do this. They go into those things. They break down matter, and as they do, they categorize it, they give it specific order, and they give it specific names to where they can take it apart or put it back together. And in their experiments, God allows them to come up with many things. The reason for that is because God intended for mind to be over matter. He made mind to be over matter. But see, where the problem is Lucifer has gotten into the human body. And he has taken glory for everything. He is taking the glory from God every day. He is, through his intellectual ability and his intellectual refinement, taking the glory of God. He is ruling over mankind. He is ruling over this world. This world belongs to Lucifer at this time. A lot of people don't believe that. But Lucifer made the statement that this world was delivered into his hand to give to whomsoever he would. So then he is the prince of this world. Jesus confirmed the fact that he is the prince of this world. That whereas God had made Adam the prince of the world, that Lucifer undermined Adam and talked Adam out of it. And through his great advancement of understanding, through the tree of knowledge, took the spirit and life of Adam into captivity through the weaker vessel of the woman, which shows the weakness of humanity in the earth. For the woman, as I say so often, is a type of men as we compare ourselves with God. The woman compared with man is the same as man compared with God. We are the feminine part and God is the masculine part. Therefore, the weakness of the woman and those things that have happened down through the years, God used that to show us our own weakness toward God and where we're standing in the light of the things of God. When we see this, we realize that the mind that is over matter has been taken into captivity by Lucifer. And what God is wanting is to instill within us the mind of Christ. That the mind of Christ that created matter may have the control of matter. And then in that, rather than Lucifer doing these natural great feats that we see, man will be doing great, marvelous spiritual feats that you cannot comprehend with your natural mind. You know, this is again where the church improperly evaluates. The people of the world will spend their entire life going out into colleges, in universities, and into the places of study to develop their mind and their abilities and their skill that they may have a knowledge that they can have the preeminence and rule over things, controlling humanity. Now, they'll spend their lives. There's many men that have literally spent their lives learning that they might be the controlling factor and get hold of all of the gold and silver on the earth, in that Solomon tells us that money answereth to all things. While the church goes on, they don't make any efforts to try to grow in the knowledge of God, nor in the grace of the Lord Jesus. They would like to have God's grace, but they don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to humble themselves because there is something, an infiltration, that is within their flesh. Paul said, within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. There is an infiltration that rebels against humility. Satan doesn't want to humble himself. He is the king of pride, and pride goeth before destruction. Therefore, he doesn't humble himself. He holds back his subjects from humility because he knows that if he allows them to get humble, they will receive a grace from God that is greater and a greater measure of God's presence, in that he gives more grace to the humble. So then he rebels. And whereas the Bible tells us to submit ourselves one to another to form this great union or this great united endeavor for God to form this body of Christ, even though God has commanded it, Satan always causes the breach by crossing us up one with another. And usually because we don't understand. The Bible said, when I bring Zion again, they'll speak the same thing. They'll see eye to eye. They won't break ranks. They'll walk hand in hand. But see, as long as you think you know, and I think that I know, and we think that we know, we're going to be crossed up just like that all the time. But when we get it in our minds that God knows and none of us knows, and the only way to learn is to let the mind of Christ teach us, then we're going to come together. They that have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil, the Bible said, these shall receive the strong meat of God. Now let's look at it for a minute. Here we come to church. The first thing that we want to do is feel something. We come to church. We don't come to church to learn. We don't come to church to grow in the knowledge of God. But we come to church so that we can feel something. We've got to feel something. Whereas it's no problem to make people feel something. You can start the organ and dancing and hollering and jumping and everybody will feel something. Those that are hypocrites will feel something because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. And those that love God will feel something. But see, we come to church wanting to feel something. Let me tell you something, folks. I like to feel something, don't you? I like to feel the Spirit of God. I love to feel the Spirit of God. And I felt it many times in my life. If a day went by to where I couldn't contact God, I would think something was wrong with me. Most likely it would be. So then I like to feel the presence of God. But we've got to grow up someday, and we've got to realize that though God wants us to feel His Spirit, and though God is pouring out of His Spirit, and though God wants us to be acquainted with the quickening and relate to the quickening, that God wants us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are those that live by faith. I live by faith, not feeling. The trouble with the church world today is they've tried to live by feeling. You can't live by feeling. Devils try to live by feeling. Witches try to live by feeling. But we're to live by faith in God's Word. If God's Word said it, we are to believe it. So then, faith in God's Word. How can I have faith in something I've never been taught? How can I have faith in something I don't know? This is why God stresses the fact that we are to grow in His knowledge. And He stresses the fact that we perish because we have lack of knowledge. And this is why the devil is always wanting to turn the service into a shouting service. And a praying for the sick service. And all of that's good. I love to pray for the sick. I love to lay hands on the sick. But in most cases where evangelists do that, they have a lust devil, and they're just wanting to get their hands on the women. You say, Brother Pike, that can't be. I know that it's that way. I've done confronted them. I've told them one after another. And I saw many of them fall. Men that fasted, men that prayed. But they still had a lust devil. And they just couldn't keep their hands off of somebody. And if you'll notice them, they don't deal with the men very much. It's always the women or the weaker vessel. Because you can get a woman to believe just about anything unless she rebels against you. Most of the time, if you tell her she's got something, whether she's got it or not, she feels she's got it, and she'll accept it. And I don't mean that from some women that keep sober. But I'm talking about women are the weaker vessel, and the devil preys off of them. And I don't mean that to discredit women. They're good, godly women that are strong in spirit, that holds their head straight and their heart straight. Paul spoke of his wonderful women workers. They're great women, but then they're also silly women. The Bible speaks of silly women. So then we see this, and it's just one big mess. All over the country it's that way. And they want to do that to have the preeminence to be seen and to feel like they're some great superpower. When most of them don't even have enough understanding to even direct themselves through life. But see, God wants us to feed the people. A miracle is a great thing. We're supposed to have miracles. We're supposed to have signs and wonders. And the Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. Even not just the preacher, but the laity. The audience is supposed to have those gifts that's in the church. Those that are laity are supposed to be able to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You're supposed to have the gifts of discernment and the gifts of healing. The church is supposed to have it, not just the preacher. But the church. So then you see, when we come together, we don't come together to grow in the knowledge of God. We don't come together to try to learn anything. If we do, we go to the extreme by being a dead congregation and having some professor out of college that we know after the flesh or his fleshly mind or his fleshly powers in the world with his papers. See, we go to that extreme and we get a head full of knowledge, whereas much learning just causes weariness of the flesh. So we go to that extreme and we become dead. Otherwise, we go to an extreme of jumping and hollering and praying for the sick and looking for a miracle, a sinful and adulterous generation that seeketh the sign. But God wants us to have the power of God in our lives. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. He wants us to have a relation with Him. And He wants us to be able to heal the sick. He wants us to pray the prayer of faith. On the other hand, God wants us to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That is, having the knowledge of God. The Bible said he spoke things and made known things that had been hid from the foundation of the world. And they said, never man spake like this man. So then God wants us to have his knowledge. He wants us to have his power. He wants us to have his knowledge. He wants us to have his spirit. But brethren, when we narrow it all down, what is the Spirit of God? What is the power of God? What is that which God wants us to have? Nothing less than the Word, which is himself. In the beginning was himself, the Word. And himself created everything, the Word. And without himself was nothing made that is made. And all things that are made was made by him and for him and for his pleasure were they created. Now then, the same God, the same Word, the Bible said is the gospel. And the Bible said that the gospel is the power of God. For the Bible said he sent his word and healed them. It was by his word that he cast out the unclean spirits. It was by God's word that he created all things. So then again, what do we see? We see God's word, not a printed page, but a spiritual quickening of God, who is the mind of Christ, or the great, wonderful, miraculous understanding of the great eternity. Now, when we think about this, we know that God wants us to have these things. John said a door is open in heaven. What was the door that was open in heaven? It was the Word. For Jesus said, I'm the Word. How did Peter get the key to open that door to the Gentiles? And to open that door to the Jews, to where that they could preach that the law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God has come into the earth. And there is a door that's open in the earth. And the kingdom of God is now in the earth. And men are pressing their way into this great kingdom. How did Peter get the keys? By recognizing the Christ, who is the manifested Word made flesh. God tabernacling in the earth in the human body called Jesus. How did Peter do this? The Word is that that heals. The Word is that that saves. The Word is that that's creating. It is the Word. I have a keen sense of discernment in the world, so do you. I have a discernment. I have five human senses. These human senses of taste and smell and feel and so forth, these senses, they're my medium of contact. I can discern by these things. I can close my eyes like this, and you can bring a book, and I can lay my hands on it and feel of it, and in a few minutes, I'll discern that that is a book. I might not know its contents, but I can discern that it is a book. See, because I have a power of discernment. If I don't touch it, if I look at it, my nerves here in my eyes, they make contact. And as they say, 130 million little cells in the retina from this convex lens picks that up. And I have discerned what is in that book because I saw it through my senses. They say that nerves is thousands of little neurons that's packed together to make one nerve. And we have sensory nerves that pick up these things. And I discern these things. I look around and I discern these things because I have the power to do that through my human senses. Now, if I go to school or if I go to college or wherever, if I try to develop these senses, if I try to develop the skill, if I try to develop my human reasoning, then I come up with a reward. I come up with a reward for my effort. For the Bible said there's reward in all labor. I put forth my effort, and I come up with a knowledge. Therefore, my human definement, my human senses, my power of discernment, which is my human senses. I discern many things, and I study them out. And I come to know them. I develop my skill. I develop my understanding. And then I come up with a great knowledge. And this great knowledge is so great, when I come up with this, that I can unlock the mystery of the stars so far as the atomic particles. I can go into the minute parts of matter. I can expand my mind. And I can understand things that other men cannot understand. And therefore, because of my knowledge, I can see beyond the veil. And I can see these things that it would take a microscopic view to be able to pick up, and even go beyond that by knowledge and see those things that even the microscope cannot pick up. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean through scientific ability by the power of Lucifer. Man has determined how many miles it is from here to the moon. A microscopic view, there is no microscopic view of that distance. There's no way that you can pick that up and see it. See, there's many multiplied things that we're able to discern by human senses. As a matter of fact, in preaching or in testifying, you and I, all of us together, we use illustrations. Jesus did that about the farming. He would say, "Say not 4 months and then cometh harvest. Look on the fields, they're white unto harvest already." He would use an illustration. See, he was learning. The Bible said he grew in stature and he grew in understanding. He grew in favor with man and God. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And the Bible said, therefore, being made perfect, going back to perfection now, therefore, being made perfect, he became the author and the finisher of our faith. Isn't that right? Now, when we think about this, that means that there is an outer man that has an outer world. There is a dimension of intellectual brilliance. There is the power and a dimension where man can dwell and where human beings can live. There is a dimension that we relate to in our physical being. If matter around us is atomic particles, then so are we atomic particles. If we look around at the molecular surroundings and we see the compounds of life, so are we. When we search our being out, we are nothing more than compounds and molecules. Therefore, we are a derivative of the earth. We come from the earth. We relate to the earth. This is the thing that upset God with Adam. He said, "Adam, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return." And brother, sister, listen. If we don't excel the things of this world and the mind of this world and the discernment of this world, if we continue to do the way that we're doing and don't excel in God, we will hear God say, "From the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return." We've got to excel. We've got to find something. We've got to learn something. We've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We've got to learn to come together, not to be seen, not to be heard, not to tell what we know. We've got to come together, not just to look for a miracle or to see somebody heal. That's not the purpose of it. It is perverted when we do that. Because God gave a miracle to confirm the word, the Bible said. It is the word that God is interested in. And praying for the sick and healing and working miracles is to confirm the word of God. But if we get up here and all we talk about is miracles, and all we talk about is God working a miracle, and all we try to do is get a healing line, or all we want to do is feel the presence of God, what kind of confirmation do we need? We're not learning anything. We're not hearing anything. The preacher's not telling us anything. The purpose of that is to prove that he is the man of God, and that what he's saying and bringing you into perfection, in that the Bible said, "We wish this, even the perfecting of your faith that cometh by the hearing of the word." See, we have the miracle. We want the miracle. We want the healing. These signs shall follow them that believe, so that they will know that we are the people of God. Why do we want this knowledge? So that we can understand. I need to understand. You need to understand What do I need to understand? Somebody say, oh, this gospel is just simple. You just come up here and you just preach the gospel. That's all it is. It's so simple a fool could preach it. I never read things like that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I read to the contrary where it says, great is the mystery of godliness. And where Paul said, I count all of my learning in the world, all of these things that I could have had in the world, I count it as nothing to obtain this great, wonderful knowledge of God and this great, wonderful revelation of Jesus. And what can it do for you and I? Paul said, it took me up to the third heaven. He said, it took me up to the third heaven. And this great knowledge, it can cause you to bypass death. For he said, behold, I show you mystery. Great is the mysteries. And behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awake him. How could he awaken him? He knew the mystery. So then, what is this for? It is to be able to translate us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Folks, are we so ignorant to think that Paul the Apostle would go after knowledge if knowledge was of no value? Are we so ignorant as to tell ourselves that that man would emphasize the mystery of Christ and the things of God and that John the Revelator would emphasize the book of Revelation? If there's no need of learning, if there's no need of understanding, would God call John over to an Isle of Patmos? Would God take John up into heaven and take John's time when John could be preaching miracles and John could be working miracles and John could have a great ministry, as we say? Most assuredly, if anybody could have it, John could have had it. Why did those men emphasize those things? Even Peter, that received the keys to the kingdom, even this great Peter, he longed to get into the things that Paul got into. Why? Though Peter done many great things and mighty miracles, there is no record where he was caught up into the third heaven. Though he saw Jesus caught up into heaven like Paul was, and though he stood there and he saw this great miraculous event, as these things appeared in glory, yet Peter was not caught into that. Though he saw these great and mighty things, that's why God let Paul blame Peter to his face, because we were changing dimensions. Peter was there. He was right there with the Jews, and God was doing great things. But brethren, we've got to understand. We've got to come to a knowledge. The Bible said we perish from the lack of knowledge. Lucifer knows. Lucifer understands. And if we don't receive a greater knowledge and a greater understanding than Lucifer, how in the world shall we cope with him? Now, when we think of these things, we come to the church, we want to feel something. I say again, that's good to feel something. When we come to church, we should feel the anointing. We should feel the blessings of God. The Bible said, let everything be done decently and in order. Not just let the church be scrambled like eggs, but come together, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation. We need a revelation somewhere. We need something where, as the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Do you ask God for the spirit of revelation? Do you exercise your senses that the meat may come to you as the strong, that there might be meat in God's house, that you might be the provider of it? Somebody has to have meat, or how is there going to be meat in God's house? Somebody has to feed the children meat. The meat is for the strong. You say, well, Brother Pike, I'll stick to the milk. I like the milk. I like milk. But medical science has learned that too much milk for grown-ups are not good. And the church today is still on milk. And brother, they'll never make the translation like that. There has got to be something else. When we come to the house of God, we've got to get past these things of just coming to be stimulated. Just coming to be stimulated or to feel the stimuli. You know, it's one thing to feel the inspiration of God. It's another thing to have God. Did you know that? You say, well, Brother Pike, if I feel God, that means I got God. It certainly does not mean you've got God. As a matter of fact, there is very few people in the entire world that's got God. There's very few people in the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal, in the Catholic, in the entire church move today that's got God. For who is God? He's the Holy Ghost. And there's very few people that's got the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Pike, I speak in tongues. That doesn't mean that you got the Holy Ghost. A person can speak in tongues and still not have the Holy Ghost. You say, but I know that I've got the Holy Ghost because I feel the Holy Ghost. You can feel the Holy Ghost and still not have the Holy Ghost. You can do all of these things. That doesn't prove anything. If you've got the love of the world in you and the desire of the things of the world in you, and if you're relating to the things of the world, of the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get a heavenly mind. You get a heavenly thirst. You get a heavenly desire. Your conversation is in heaven. Your desire is in heaven. Your ambition is in heaven. All that you want to do is in heaven. You don't care about the things of this world. Though God adds them all unto you. For if you seek the kingdom, I'll supply all of your needs and make you ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll prosper you. But see, we get in a rut again. The evangelist has got to preach prosperity. Why do they always want to preach prosperity? Because they know that people are gullible. And that people want money and convenience. And Satan savors or loves the things of this world. And as long as they do that, people are going to relate to them and people are going to run after them. Lucifer's doing that. So then they preach prosperity. They preach healing the same way. As long as they do that, people are going to flock after them because everybody just about it is sick. Everybody wants healings. But brother, God said reprove. Where is the reproving of the ministry? God said rebuke. Where is the rebuking of the ministry? And the Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. Where is the chastisement that grieves the people, that afterwards yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness? Where is this? You know, God's got a threefold blessing, a threefold plan. He wants to give me health for my body. He wants to give me prosperity for the natural, health for this physical, and He wants to give me angelic blessing and stimulation of power and desire of salvation for my spirit. He's got a threefold plan. But any time that we leave one part of it out, we have become partial. And it means that unless we're doing it in our ignorance, that Lucifer has control of our lives. Paul said, I want to present you blameless body, soul, and spirit. That means that I got to be holy in body as well as in spirit. I've got to preach holiness of the body. If I draw back from preaching holiness of the body, then I am a hypocrite and a reprobate. I am of the devil. But brother, when I preach that you've got to line up with holiness, that without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. And that you've got to produce holiness or the fruits unto holiness to have eternal life. Then that means I am sin of God. So then, I am here to perfect your faith. The preacher is here to perfect your faith. How do I perfect your faith? By the hearing on the word. But let's just look for a minute now. A door open in heaven, there is a door open in heaven. How can I discern? I discern by my human senses. How can I build a knowledge that will make me excel in this world? By discernment and develop of my human senses under skill. By giving it to those places that can help me. How then can I excel in God? There must be somewhere a God man. There must be a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. Or between the human senses and the God senses. There must be a God man, for Paul spoke of the inner man and the outer man. Where then is the God man? Where then is the God senses? Where is my power of discernment? How can I develop my spiritual senses to where I can understand what's going on in yonder world? And to where I can develop my skill in yonder world. Somebody would say, Brother Pine, God doesn't care about any skill. You can develop your skill here in the earth. Well, why did God, when He sent the angel, have the angel to say to Daniel, O Daniel, thou beloved man of God that has set thy heart to understand. He said unto him, I am come to give thee skill, Daniel. Why is it that I do not have any reason to try to develop skill in yonder's world? I want you to know tonight, God desires skill. The Bible said, those that know their God, they shall do great and mighty exploits. I'm supposed to know. Am I supposed to study? Why is it I'm not supposed to know God's word when the Bible said, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. So then when we come together, if we get in a rut of just feeling things, we'll get just like the world out there. They go to ball games to feel something. They go to ball games to be stimulated. They go there. But did you know there's other people that go there for a different purpose? Others go there because they've got hundreds of thousands of dollars that's bet on that ball game and on that wrestling match and on that boxing match. And it is those people that have played the game just right, that's got everything set up before they go there, that's pulled the strings just right. That is the people that goes the way with the goodies. That's the ones that go away with the goodies. The others go there and have a good feeling, and after a while they're gone. That's all there is to it. While the other pockets his thousands or millions of dollars and goes out and takes the world. Brother, it's the same way in the house of God. There's a group of people that doesn't want to do anything but fill the Spirit of God, which is a wicked and a sinful and an adulterous generation. They want to see God perform. They want to see signs and wonders. They want God to heal their body, and they want to feel the presence of God, but they don't want to perfect holiness unto God. They don't want to learn about God. And the Bible says because they don't like to retain the knowledge of God in their heart, God has given them over to a reprobate mind. He has sent strong delusions, caused them to believe a lie, and they're going to be damned. So then, what am I to do? I must use my senses. I must develop skill so that I can develop the mind of Christ, so that I can develop that great knowledge of revelation, so that I can have that great, wonderful expose of the other world. For what is revelation? It's another world. It is the unveiled world that's out there. It is the unveiled, sacred, supernatural world. What is the unveiling called the revelation of Jesus Christ? The Bible said in the grace that is to be given unto you at the revealing of Jesus, or the revelation of Jesus Christ, I want to get into that world. There's a door open in heaven. Christ is that door. He is the mind. He is the sovereignty. I must have that mind of Christ on the inside of me. And I must use that mind of Christ comparison to comparison, and taking my mind and his mind and putting those together, letting them run side by side, or fall into a sequence, or in the dispute of my mind, the Bible said, my thoughts being the means while accusing or else excusing one another. I must take my mind and his mind and compare them one to another. And I must from glory, to revelation, to revelation, to thought, to understanding, transform my mind into his lovely mind. And the Bible said to be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. I must transform my mind. By doing it, I must eradicate from every thought the impurities of the carnality of death. I must take out all of that impurity. I spoke last night of the blood veins that pick up the carbon dioxide of the body to take out the nitrogen, to get that poison out that they call urea, to keep me from dying. God's got a function and he's got a way. I must do that in my physical. I must do that, otherwise I will die. I've got a system, a spiritual system, and God has so set it up to where there's something that takes the infiltration out of me. It moves all of the impurities out of my life so that I can live, beloved friend. So when we come to church, it is little wonder that God would say, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. Why would he say that? I can project my reasoning. I can project my thinking. I can project my ambitions. I can hear, not take heed how that I'm hearing. I can hear for my own benefit, to do my own thing, to add it to my own collection, so that I can put it in my treasure chest for my own benefit. And Lucifer can use it against the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, I can take heed how that I hear it according to his plans and desire. I can take heed how that I hear, and I can be very careful in hearing the things of God. And I can grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and I can transformate from glory to glory and dimension to dimension, right on into heaven. And after a while, I'll bypass this carnal mind with the infiltration of death, and I'll get the impurities of death out of me, and I'll find myself with a healthy mind of God, and all the spiritual carbon dioxide will be gone out of me, and I'll be standing there as a God-man that's been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, that's been transformed into the marvelous kingdom of God, that's been transfigured into the marvelous kingdom of God. If God can, by his Spirit, translate my spirit into the kingdom of God, and by the word of God of the mind of Christ, transform my mind into the kingdom of God, then the ultimatum of that will be the transfiguration of my body into the glorious celestial condition of the kingdom of God. I say this so often. There is no such thing as rapture in the Bible. It is a man-made word and a besetting word that has caused much problem. Nevertheless, we know the meaning of it is caught away, and we will be caught away. But brother, we need to understand God's change that Paul spoke of, and not only the ultimate change of the body at a moment in the twinkling of an eye, according to Paul in Thessalonians, but we need to understand what he taught. The same Paul taught concerning the change from glory to glory and from faith to faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. We get into a rut of feeling. We've got to feel. Listen, brethren, whether I feel God or not, I am a Christian. Whether I feel God or not, I am saved. Somebody says, I know I'm saved because I feel God's presence. You can't prove that you're saved because you feel God's presence. The Bible said you can come to the knowledge of the truth. You can be made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You can also feel the powers of the world to come and still be damned and go to hell. You can speak with tongues and not have the Holy Ghost. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of angels and of men. And when you say angels, it means of the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost is a spirit. It is the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of truth, his Spirit. Though you speak with tongues of angels, and though you speak with the tongues of men, which is the knowledge of human understanding, if you have not charity, then you are a sounding brass and you are a tinkling cymbal. Why charity? Because charity is the bond of perfection. What must I be? Perfect. For he's coming back after a church that's perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's his bride. Why then do I need charity? Because the Bible said, charity thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. I must have charity. Some people misconstrue that by saying I must be a kind, loving person that'll compromise with everybody and not hurt nobody's feeling and just let them do any old way. Brother, that's of the devil. That's not God. God is love. But God is a God of judgment. Judgment is love. When God brings judgment, it is love. He is destroying the wicked, destroying the evil, so that his love can continue to exist to the righteous. So then when God turned over the tables as Jesus, when he popped the whip, it was God in action. It was God in love. When God levels the cities of the world, when God turns this world upside down, as we say, that's God demonstrating God's love. He said, if an ox kill a man, kill the ox. That's love. So that the ox don't kill another man. He said, if a man spills man's blood, spill that man's blood and kill that man. That's love. See, I'm saying charity. Every thought must be brought into subjection. That's what the love of God is. The love of God is this, that you keep my commandments. One writer said, what is the love of God? Said it's the keeping of God's commandments. It's God's words. It's God's thoughts. It's doing away with your carnal mind of death and bringing in love that's strong as death, which is the thoughts of Jesus Christ, getting you over the human Jordan of your own reasoning, in that God said, don't lean to your own understanding. So then we see this. We know then that we get in a rut. We come to church and we get in a rut. We want to feel. Now listen for just a few minutes. We want to feel. Everybody wants to feel. That's good. Everybody wants their healing. That's good. Everybody wants to do something, we'll say. Maybe. That's good. All right, now. But brethren, listen. When we feel and don't learn, we are of no good to God. Because we don't know what to say. We don't know who to say it to. We don't know what it would be a benefit to them, or what way, if we don't know and we don't understand. And then we have no shield of faith to quench the fire darts of the wicked as Satan comes upon us and we perish from the lack of knowledge. Because faith cometh by that understanding and knowledge. And the shield of faith, it comes by the knowledge of Jesus. Therefore, we are helpless, or helpless prey to Lucifer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let's look at that for just a minute. I don't have time to go into it tonight, but let's look at it for just a minute and then we'll close. Faith cometh by hearing. How am I saved? By faith. Therefore, if faith cometh by hearing, by the hearing of what? Somebody said, well, if somebody gets up and shouts and hollers and screams and we have a good time. There ain't no faith to that. They say, well, I'll see somebody work a miracle. There ain't no faith to that. Because the Bible said it didn't come like that. Somebody says, it comes by demonstration. You can't prove it nowhere in the Bible. Miracles was a confirmation. Now, you say, well, how do you get it? The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of God's word. By the hearing. Somebody said, by a miracle, there's the word manifested. You can't hear a miracle. Somebody said, you can hear the people screaming and rejoicing. You can do it down at the ball game. It comes by the hearing of the word of God. He sent his word and healed them. As they hear the word and believe in the word, then comes the healing, which is the result of the word. So then, does the healing come or does the word come? Can you get healed then without the word? Do you get healed and then hear the word or to believe on the word? No, you hear the word and believe on the word and get healed. The Bible said an adulterous generation seeketh the sign. They don't have any faith. But we believe to see. We hear the word. Therefore, we believe the word to see the demonstration. Now, what about the preaching of the word? What about the feeling of the Spirit? Isn't it the same? How do I hear? I hear by vibrations. Are you listening now? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, which means there's got to be a vocal utterance. For the Bible said, did not their word go out even to the ends of the world? But the Bible said, who hath believed our report? Faith cometh by believing the report. Now, so when I hear, how do I hear? I hear with my ears. How do I hear with my ears? It's one of my human senses. I hear by nerves. If I've got 22 conductive nerves from my eye to my brain, then that means I got some ear nerves. I got some sensory nerves here that's coming from my human senses. When I hear the word of God, what is it? It's a vibration. It's a vibration. I pick up a vibration. This is why I say that if you're not careful in coming to church just wanting feeling, you'll get to be just like the people that are witches out yonder and those that are soothsayers. They count so many vibrations. They know about the vibrations. Did you know that sound brings forth a frequency? How do you understand that? According to the number of vibrations per second, they determine a frequency. That's the frequency. If that vibration is speeded up, then as that thing is speeded up, that gives it a higher pitch. It gives it a higher pitch. See, there is a frequency of vibration. They call it compression and rarefaction, which means the molecules or atomic particles are pressed. When they are pressed, we get a compression. When they loose up, then we get what they call a rarefaction, which is the scattering of the molecules. This they call a frequency, or if they put it on a graph, it would show little dots. But whatever, it is a vibration. What does that have to do with me? It has a lot to do with me. What does it have to do with me? I hear by vibration. I hear by vibration. God has determined that faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And it is by sound, because the Bible says, how can they hear lest they have a preacher? So then that means he's got to preach. He's got to make a sound. And when he makes a sound, thus comes the vibration. See, and there is a vibration, and there is a distinction of vibration in every sound. Paul said, sounds without distinction, that couldn't be. Everything has a distinction. Every sound has a distinction. The sound of your voice is different from the sounds of another man's voice. God has so made our fingerprints to where no two is alike. He so made our voice to where it's so different. Every sound is different. See, God has made it like that. Why did he do that? Because the Bible says when the preacher preaches, it is not him that speaketh, but it is God that's speaking. That's why the devil can get in the church. That's why the devil has got the church blinded. That's why he's got them in bondage. But the last message, the last sounding of the trump, the last revealing, the last uncovering, the last expose, even the revelation of the Lord, is to come in the end time to those that have the spirit of revelation. And it is to expose Lucifer. And it is to expose him, his minute hiding places. And in detail explain and expose him and dig him out and run him out. That we can comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. And we can differentiate between the carnal mind of the fellow that's behind the pulpit and the mind of God. See, Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. I'd like to get into that one night. He's transformed himself into an angel of light. And the ministers of Satan has transformed themselves into ministers of light. Now, if God is the Spirit, and God is the great light, and God is the Word, and Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, that means that a man that is not of God can take the Word, which is God, the Spirit of light, to the extent of the printed page, changing it into a lie, the Bible said, and he can by that Word transform his mind from the evil mind of corruption and get up there and feel the presence of God and stir the people and get the moving of God and cause those people to have a miracle. And take their money and walk off with it, and that man be of the devil. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. The Bible said you can't work a miracle and speak evil of God. I never read it anywhere in the Bible. He said you can't do a miracle in my name and speak evil of me. That's what the Bible says. Besides that, the Bible said the three unclean spirits like frogs went throughout the earth doing miracles. That Trinitarian way of life is doing miracles, but they're not doing it in the name of Jesus. Because it's in the name of Jesus that you do miracles. And sad to say, we got some supposed to be Jesus name preachers that can't stay away from the Trinities. They are so afraid they're not going to have a big ministry and a big following until they've compromised the name Jesus in such a way they are reproached to the name Jesus. Paul spoke of the Jews one time, and he said concerning the Jews, he said, the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And it is a true fact. There is so much compromising with sin that the very name of God is blasphemed by the beast of this world. John said the tabernacle and the name was blasphemed. So then they transformed their minds. By the renewing of their mind, they learned the Bible. They speak of the Bible because this is the day of grace and the Spirit of God is poured out upon all flesh. Everybody feels the presence of God because they talk about the Word of God. But they never tell the people anything. They get the people worked up in a great state or some kind of condition. And sure enough, some of them believe. And since the rain comes on the just and on the unjust, when some true believers are out there, believe. Or when faith is stirred up even in them that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, healing comes. You know what comes? You know what comes? The Bible speaks of lying signs and wonders. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You can't take a miracle and call it a lying miracle. How is it you can take the Word of God and the Bible so they changed it into a lie? What makes you think I blaspheme because I said a miracle can be changed into a lie? Brother, let me tell you something. Lying signs and wonders. These preachers do this and they've got great healing campaigns and great things, but where are they going? Ain't they going after the money, and ain't they going after the convenience, and ain't they going after the world, and haven't they turned the church into havoc? And haven't they built all kind of things that's contrary to God? And have they taught the people holiness or anything else? You know they haven't. I saw not too long ago and heard a man, as he was passing out intellectual diplomas, and he stated that his heart's desire had come to pass at last. Taking millions and millions of dollars of God's money to cause people to dress out in bathing suits and shorts to jump hurdle and to get doctors and dentists' degrees. What do we need with that? We had doctors and dentists before then. We had people jumping hurdles and going to school and college before then. We had those things. We didn't need to spend God's money that way. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. But see, they've started all of these things called Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And he's gone after the things of the flesh. And in the end, he comes out into the world and leads all of his people right out into the world because it was the mind of the devil under disguise doing it to start with. But brother, if a man's son of God, he'll speak God's word and he'll tell you that you better clean up your life, and he'll preach holiness to you, and he'll itemize and he'll enumerate and he'll lay it down in detail as to how you to do it. He can tell you to quit huffing and a puffing and a causing division and gossiping and a chewing on cud and everything else. He can just enumerate it. He can tell you to dress as becometh holiness and do the things that God commanded you to do. Somebody said, all them people that just go around in them long dresses, that don't mean they got God. I know it don't. Some of them is of the devil. False brethren. But I'll tell you one thing, them people that go around in long dresses is wearing sheep clothing, even if they are of the devil. They're coming in sheep clothing. And you'll see the sheep with that kind of clothing on. What is it? Because it's God's way as holiness. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe it. People ought to wear them long things. I guess I do. I guess I'm a little bit like Jesus. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, he had on one of them long things all the way down to his feet. And the Bible said he's our example and we ought to follow in his steps. Now, somebody said there's no virtue in that. You can't prove that, because the Bible said if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. And if Jesus had it on, it must have had some virtue in it, or he wouldn't have had it. So then be holy in body as well as spirit. Dress holy, talk holy, be holy, think holy, every thought. I'm going to say this in trying to close. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight, just about getting started along here. But folks, let me tell you, we are in the end of the world. These vibrations come. They come. We record the vibrations. Devils and demons and witches record vibrations. Vibrations is not God. Somebody said, I felt something go all over my body. That was the Holy Ghost. That was the vibration. That was the recording. That was something from your nerves. Oh, no. Somebody said, that couldn't be. Well, I'll tell you what. You put you in a casket. Take away your nerves and see if you feel it or anybody else sees you feel it. Oh, somebody said, it'll still be with me. But the body won't feel nothing. Oh, somebody said, buddy, Brother Pike, you're wrong. My body will still know it. The Bible said the dead know not anything. And the Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. Somebody said, well, I feel him in my spirit. You sure will if you're a Christian. Because at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. It's over there with him. We're talking about in the earth, folks. We're talking about vibrations. The Bible said they spake with tongues. God didn't speak with tongues. They spake with tongues. It was the vibration of the vocal organs right here. They spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The utter noise. Control the little vibrachords. Here, the vocal organs. And it opened it up and closed it. And they spoke with tongues. And they made the sound. See, did not their sounds go into all the earth? But look, folks. Vibrations. I hear vibrations. I hear a guitar. I hear a piano. I hear an organ. I hear you speak, I hear him speak, I hear her speak. But see, what's the difference? If faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is no more than a sound, then if that be the thing, then why can't I get faith if I hear Brother Taylor make a sound? If I hear the organ make a sound, somebody say, well, Brother Pike, what it is, it's words. All right, let's look at it for just a moment. What kind of words? One fellow says, yah, 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 and another says, cha, cha, cha. And mine comes out altogether different from both of them. If it's a Chinaman, if it's an Englishman, if it's a Brazilian, if it's a German, then what kind of word is it? You understand what I'm saying? No, see, that doesn't have anything to do with it. It is God's word. But it is not the printed page of our printed characters. Our characters of the ABC of our alphabet. That doesn't have anything to do with it. That doesn't have to do with it at all, beloved brother, sister. Not at all. Then what is it? The Bible said it shall not be him that speaketh, but God, your heavenly Father, speaking from within him. It means the Holy Spirit is coming forth through a vocal utterance. And whether it be Chinese or whether it be German or whatever, it's that divine anointing that is coming forth with the vibrations of his own voice, which is very distinct and very clear. For the Bible said, my sheep know my voice. I've been in the midst of them that was talking in one language. I've been in the midst of them that talk with another language. I've been in the midst of them that talk with a different language altogether. But every time his voice came, I knew it. Because there was a certain vibration that come to these ears that penetrated and went down into my heart. And I discerned his voice. I can have a person come up to me and meet me, and I can discern his spirit. Whether they speak my language or not, I can discern that language of love that expresses itself through these vibrations that come. Not like a witch of trying to figure out how many times I feel the Spirit, though my nerves does record the vibrance and the vibrations of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. When you come to church, you hear a preacher preach, and the stimulation comes, and the stimuli, they call it, comes, and the anointing comes, and he breaks the yoke. All of a sudden, you feel that vibration. You feel that quickening. You feel that stimulation, that inspiration, that innermost raising up. Is your nerves. The reaction is your body. It's the recording of the vibrations. While as the world revived, they record the vibrations per second. So many per second determines frequency. The devils and the witches do that. The soothsayers say, I feel vibrations. Even Brother Branham said, I feel the vibrations on my arm when I pray for somebody. That was the first sign. See, but listen, folks. The vibration is not God. God is a spirit, not a vibration. Devils can feel vibrations. There's all kind of frequency and vibrations. And even the faith that cometh by hearing. If I speak over this thing right here, you're going to feel a vibration according to the volume or what they call the decibel. But I'm speaking of recording. In that he said, he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Jesus said, having ears to hear, you can't have faith. Having ears to hear, you hear not. But nevertheless, through vibration, God has set it up that we feel him. We hear him. We be acquainted with him. Why? Because we are a body of nerves. But oh, beloved brother, sister, listen. And I am going to close. When we depend upon that, when we come and we're not looking for the knowledge and the faith, which is the true Christ, and the mind, then we get into trouble. Then we're in problems because we can't discern. We don't know. We don't know what we're being taught. We're just going by feelings. We say we feel God. God is everywhere. Paul said, above you, in you, and through you. But listen, faith. A person can sit out there without having the Holy Ghost. And because of the days of grace and the moving of the Spirit, they can believe and they can get a miracle and still die and go to hell. How can they do it? Because the blood is on the seat of atonement. God doesn't see anybody's sins at the present time. Because the blood is between him and them. If he saw it, he would destroy them. Giving time for the church to get right. Giving time. So that when he moved that blood in Revelation 8, when he takes it away, that all of a sudden we will be righteous and he won't destroy us with the wicked. See, we'll have his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, on the inside of us. So then you can believe, taste of the Holy Ghost, be made by partakers, sit out there, feel, be stimulated to believe. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes. He controls the world by believing. But you believe and you get a miracle and still not have the Holy Ghost. You be a believer and be a church member and pay your tithes and go to church. Still don't have the Holy Ghost. You'll still not go in the translation. Very few people in the world have the Holy Ghost. Very few people in the world, including preachers, have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because few there be that find it. It's a little flock. And that bride of Christ is going to be perfect. She's going to be his one and only. She's going to think like he thinks, talk like he talks, walk with him, and she's going to be therefore perfect, and he's perfect, to be one with him. How can she be one with him if a man and his wives are no longer twain but one? How can she be one with him if she is not perfect? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, he's perfect. I believe she's got to be perfect. But when he comes, he'll make her perfect. But that wasn't what the Bible said. Bible said that Noah, Job, these others were perfect men. Jesus, as a man, was made perfect. Then he became the author and the finisher. He was our example. We should be following his steps to be perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. Why did he tell me to be perfect if I can't be perfect? See, folks, we got to be perfect because he's coming back after a bride that already doesn't have spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So then, that is the one he will change, is the perfect one. Do you want to be his bride, one with him? If he's perfect, then you got to be perfect. I want you to stand together. We're looking for the spirit of perfection, the bond of charity, love that's as strong as death, that'll overcome every thought and give us the mind of Christ and do away with this old carnal mind of death to get us over the Jordan. Do you believe there's a door that's open in heaven tonight? That door is the Word, and we can pass right through it into that great spiritual dimension if we'll spend enough time with it. Now then, I hope we've said a few words or something tonight that might be beneficial to you. I hope you've got something out of it. I trust tonight that it'll make you a better person and make you more of a candidate for the glories of Jesus Christ and the blessings of our Heavenly Father than before. And I pray that you'll have a keener discernment of His will and desire in the edification of the soul and of evangelizing the world, to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Preaching the gospel and then letting these signs follow us. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they take up any deadly thing or drink it, it shall not hurt them. If they take up serpents, they shall not harm them. They shall tread upon serpents, and they shall not harm them. What a wonderful ability the sons of God have. The faith, contend for that faith of the saints of old, even Joshua, who commanded the sun and the moon, those that commanded in the days of old. Peter, Paul said, contend for that faith. What faith? That faith before Paul come on the scene. He said, contend for that faith that them saints had back yonder when they opened up the Red Sea, when they opened up the River Jordan, and when they'd done the great miraculous things that God commanded, when strength was given to where men like Samson could defeat a lion, and men like the Hebrew children could overcome the fiery furnace, and men like Daniel could lock the jaws of a lion and sleep along beside them. Contend for that faith, Paul said. That wonderful faith of the Son of God. I can also look back now and say, contend for the faith that Paul had, and contend for the faith that Peter had. Not only the saints that they spoke of back in the early days, but let us contend for the faith that even those saints, the faith that they had when they spoke of the faith of the previous saints. Seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside then every weight that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. There's a stream, it's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, that stream is flowing down from Calvary. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Can you sing that again with me? There's really a stream, a river. The Bible said, a river where makes the city of God glad. The great river of God. That wonderful river. You know, even Lucifer confessed that he walked among the stones of fire. You are God's jewels tonight. You are God's stones of fire tonight. And though Lucifer walks in the midst of you, in that when the sons of God come to present themselves, Lucifer comes also. And the sons of Satan in whom he dwells comes also. Because the day of grace is here. They get the rain on the unjust, just like the just. And the wheat and the tares gets the rain so that they can produce the harvest. All of them grow together. But in the end of the world, I'll send forth my angels, and there'll be a severing, there'll be a dividing, there'll be a cutting down. And all of a sudden, the wheat will be gathered into the garners. So often we expect God to come and cut down the tares. But in the world, and yet not in the church, purge out the old leaven in the church, be a new lump. But in the world, he said, leave them alone and let them grow together. And in the end of the world, I'll send my reapers, and they will cut down the fields, and they'll reap the fields. But did you notice? He said that binding them into bundles. You know, all kind of bundles. Bundles of the woodsmen of the world. Bundles of the masons. Bundles of associations of medical men. Association of men and women alike. And all kind of
organizations, binding them into bundles, binding them into religious bundles of denominational powers. I will bind them into bundles after I cut them down. Then I will cast them into the fire. But I will gather the wheat into the garners. Did you know it's in gathering time right now? It's in gathering time right now. Did you know in the time of harvest, Jordan overflowed all of its banks? And did you know that death is overflowing its banks right now? I heard of a plane today that crashed. I believe lightning struck it and it blew up. Many people were killed. And as it struck the ground, people on the ground was killed. Diseases and wars and problems. Jordan is overflowing its banks. It's the ingathering time. It's harvest time. You know they sing that song, harvest time. It's the harvest time. What is God doing? He's cutting them down now. The gospel is cutting them down now, folks. It's cutting them down. Ministers are falling everywhere. Daniel said, them that have knowledge shall fall. Some of the great ones. To purge them. To make them draw close to God. Even the great ones with knowledge are falling now. So, Steve, what it is that end time. It's that end time, and the gospel is literally cutting them down. They're either going on into the things of God now and getting strength, or they're just losing out altogether and saying, man, I can't make it. I might as well to rack it up. I might as well to quit. We had somebody to say that here the other day. I preached a sermon, and they went out of here and told somebody, said, man, I might as well to rack it up. I preached that Christ in you was the hope of glory, and we couldn't do nothing. You know, I made the statement, anybody that would make that statement don't have God. They're not even relative to God. How can I say that I'll no longer be my daddy's son? Because my daddy gave me a good chastening. I'll always be my dad's son. See, if you had it, you couldn't rack it up. You couldn't even think like that. Paul said, shall I come unto you in peace, or shall I come unto you with a rod? Sometimes the Lord chastens. Sometimes the Lord blesses. God can curse too. Did you know that? He said, I've cursed your blessings because you didn't honor me. Even the whole world, I've cursed their blessings. Their children are born crippled, their blessings. Bringing much, it comes to little. You bring it home, I blow upon it because you let my house lay waste. Every man runs to his own house, then it ain't time to build God a house. It's time to frolic and do the things of the world. Turn God's house, even the physical temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost, turned it into a place of money changes and frolic. Want to strip it off, nude, and disgrace it. And God said, you defile it and I'll destroy it. Because I can't live in it. Life can't live in contaminated blood. The germ has to go. The carbon dioxide has to be eradicated. Taken out through the urethra, it's gone. That we might be a clean person. You know, God is doing something. Did you know that? Let's sing this one more time. That stream, it's flowing down from Calvary. That stream, it's flowing. I want you to come to the altar while they're playing, while we're singing. I want you to gather around the altar tonight. Now we're praying for you from night to night. We're praying for the healing of your body, the salvation of your soul. We're praying for the deliverance of your mind from evil and oppression. And we're asking God to do something for you, beloved friend. We're asking God to love you and God to help you and God to guide you and God to teach you, for God to strengthen you. Not only here are we praying for you, but we're praying in the midnight hour for you. And though we lay hands on you from time to time to ask God for your healing, yet many times in the midnight hour when you are asleep, when we can't get our hands on you, we touch God for you, that God will heal you and that God will do something for you. It is really the end of the world, folks. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is not. If I get to preach tomorrow, I'm going to do my best to talk about the abomination that maketh desolate. And I'm going to explain, if the Lord will help me, what the abomination of desolation is. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then shall the end come. And I'm going to bring it out this Sunday if the Lord will let me preach, if He sees fit for me to do it, just exactly what it is and what it has to do with in the covenant and the breaking of the covenant. Let's just lift our hands up now and let's love Him. While you've got your hands up now and you're making love to Jesus, let's sing this little song while we've got our hands up, worshiping Him. It's called Wonderful. Let's sing it together, can we? Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, who is keeping me and He's saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor, Prince of Peace, and mighty God is He. He's saving me and He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Do you believe He's wonderful tonight? All right, let's sing this little chorus together. You know, I feel the Spirit tonight. I feel the yoke broken. Wherever the anointing is, the yoke is broken. And the Bible said the truth shall set you free. Isn't that right? All right, let's sing this together. I'm gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter God's courts with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. My Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter these courts with praise. Now I'm gonna say this is the day that my Jesus has made. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord has made me glad. My Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. My Savior made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Can you say it again? I'm going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And to enter His courts here with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. My Savior made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. My Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus, one more time, I entered these courts. Thanksgiving in my heart, we have entered these gates with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Can you praise Him tonight? Can you praise Him tonight? If God has made you glad, can you praise Him tonight? Can you lift up holy hands and praise Him tonight? Bible said, let men praise God to lift up your hands and praise God, because God inhabits the praise of His people. Can you praise God tonight? Can you love God tonight? Can you let the Holy Spirit come into your heart tonight? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, now's the time to get the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, give way to the Holy Ghost tonight. Let the Holy Ghost come into the temple tonight and love Him and rejoice in the name of the Son of God tonight. Can you do it tonight? Can you love Jesus tonight? Can you give way to the Holy Spirit tonight and love Him and praise Him tonight? Can you? I'm going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter these courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Jesus has made. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord has made me glad. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Praise the Lord. Jesus made me glad. My Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Can you praise the Lord? He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. My Savior made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus. One more time now. I'm going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And to enter these courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Savior made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice because Jesus made me. Can you sing it one more time and praise the Lord? Can you sing it? I'm going to enter His courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Savior made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, I feel so glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Yes, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. I believe tonight God really has made some of you glad tonight. I believe that God is in your heart tonight. I believe that God is getting ready a people. I really believe that in my heart tonight. Brother Cantrell, I believe He's getting ready a people. I believe we're getting closer and closer to that wonderful Christ of heaven. Hallelujah. You know, the more perfect you get in God, the more you believe, the more that faith registers, the closer God gets to us. Draw nigh unto God and God will draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. If God's made you glad, say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I can feel that way up here. Just one more time, can we? I'm going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter these courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. My Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Hallelujah, one more time. Glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. While the Lord is moving, I want you to lift your hands up. I already feel your faith lifted up, folks. And I tell you what I want. I want the ministers tonight to come up here and stand on the platform with me tonight. I want them to come up here. Will you do that? Every minister in here tonight, will you come up here and stand? You know, while we were down in Apalachicola down there, I had the minister to come up and stand on the platform. And we worshiped God together and we prayed together. And God began to move and God began to do something. I want you to come up here tonight and I want you to lift your hands up with me. And I want us to believe together tonight. I want us to believe together tonight. And I want to pray for you tonight. I want to ask God to do something for you. I want to believe God tonight. And I want to pray with you. Let's step out here, brethren, if you will. Let's just step right out here. I want you to lift up your hands tonight. And I already feel your hearts lifted up tonight. And I feel the power of God. I feel the believing in your heart tonight. You know, if you can believe in the supernatural of God, God will do anything for you. Did you know that? If you will lift your hands up to God tonight and your faith up to God tonight, I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to give God a chance tonight. We preach the Word of God to you tonight. And I challenge you to believe tonight and lift your heart up and lift your hands up and see if God doesn't do something for you. You'll go away from here tonight feeling the supernatural power of God, and you'll feel that yoke broken, and it won't come back day after tomorrow either. Brother, you'll have victory day after tomorrow too, because when the devil starts coming back, you'll feel that wonderful Spirit of God and that Word talking to you, and you'll feel that yoke broken, and you'll have the victory, and you'll hold that faith right on. All you've got to do is just lift up your hands and heart tonight and let's pray and believe together. These men tonight believe God. I've got men up here that fast and pray. I've got men up here that believe the Word. I've got men up here that preaches the Word. And tonight we want to worship and we want to praise God. And we want to ask God for His healing. Tonight if you've got cancer in that bloodstream, God will kill it. The Bible said anything poison, God will kill it. When it went into Paul's bloodstream, God sent the Holy Ghost in there and eradicated the impurities. Brother, if God's got a system that can get the carbon dioxide out, I know He's got a system that can get the devil out of you. I know that He's got a system that can get disease out of you. And God's got a system that can get that unbelief out of you. And God's got a system tonight that will cause you to walk upright and really be healed and really be a Christian. I want you to lift your hands up with me tonight now and love the Lord. Can you do that? Let's believe together, folks. Let's use our faith tonight. Hallelujah. Let's be a witness to everybody going into all the world with the gospel and letting the world see a real brotherhood and a real unity and a real love and a real working together and a real life of holiness that'll bring the Son of God back into this world. That'll bring true healing to the people and will bring deliverance and relief to the people. Let's love Him tonight. Can we do that? Hallelujah. While we pray together tonight, and these brethren pray with me. Father, Lord of heaven, as we come to Thee in the name of Jesus, Father, we preach the Word tonight. God, You confirmed the Word with signs and wonders following in the early apostolic church, and You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, these people are believing tonight. There's no doubt about it. God, their hearts are lifted up and their faith is lifted up in Thee. God, and You said You would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And these people, they've got their hands up tonight, Father, as a symbol of Calvary tonight. And Father, they're believing You tonight, moved by Your great and mighty Spirit tonight to break the yoke as these minister brethren pray tonight. Oh God, as these people pray tonight, as the saints pray tonight, oh mighty God, not only to deliver here, but God, by the prayers of these praying saints tonight, that throughout the world, that this prayer will be heard for people throughout the world tonight, and the yoke will be broken, and the sons and daughters of God will find their place in the kingdom of God, and that great, straight, wonderful walk of God where we make great paths for ourselves, that the lame be not turned aside. You said, but rather let it be healed. Oh God, as we feel Thy mighty Word tonight, Thy mighty presence tonight, as we feel Thy mighty Spirit tonight, oh God of heaven, bathing our hearts and our souls in this wonderful refreshing of the everlasting God, I ask You to heal. Father, do away with cancer tonight. Do away with heart condition tonight.